Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is the Antique E Show, and I am your host, Leslie Gist, and we are expecting Mrs. Ragsdale from the Museum of Least We Forget. She will be on the air to talk to us about her latest movie, the film called My Slave Sister, Myself. And here she is on the line.
How is everyone?
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Leslie.
Fine. I'm so happy to hear you on the line right now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Gwen. Gwen Ragsdale, would you please introduce yourself to the audience and tell everyone why we're having this conversation?
My name is Gwen Ragsdale, and I'm the writer and producer of a new documentary film called My Slave Sister, Myself. The film is about the transatlantic slave trade, the African transatlantic slave trade, particularly as it relates to enslaved women. I compare the experiences of enslaved African women, as depicted through the narratives in the film, with the experiences of today's black woman. And the comparisons are quite riveting. I am very pleased with the outpouring of appreciation that I'm receiving from all over the country from people who have viewed my documentary. It's a total 55-minute documentary. The first 45 minutes is the actual documentary, and the last 10 minutes is a music video which corroborates, or I should say complements, the documentary using the rap genre, which is very pleasing to my young viewers.
All right. What inspired you to make this film? And I know that you started this journey almost 10 years ago.
Yeah. Actually, I was just reminded by a friend who I mentioned that. He says, actually, I remember you talking about this almost 15 years ago. So this is something that has been milling around in my head and in my soul for quite a few years. What I failed to mention, I'm also the executive vice president and co-curator of the Lest We Forget Black Holocaust Museum of Slavery in Philadelphia, located 3650 Richmond Street. The museum holds my husband's private collection of slavery artifacts, Jim Crow memorabilia, and slavery documents. Our museum is quite unique in that we have the most extensive collection of slavery hardware in the area. And we've been told by collectors from around the country that quite possibly we could have the most museum of any other museum of its kind in the United States. My husband started collecting these items over 35 years ago. And because he concentrated on slavery hardware, he was able to amass quite a collection. So I say that to just kind of tell you I've always been interested in African-American history, but particularly slave history. And even when I was a young girl, long before I married my husband, I was always fascinated by books that talked about slavery and how the women were portrayed in these books. So I, many years later, after, you know, I was an adult, I am also an event planner by profession. I was doing a program for the African-American Women on Tour, which was a major outing for African-American women. It traveled around the country for years. I think Maria Dowd, who was the founder of African-American Women on Tour, I think it lasted maybe 5 years, and it's now, you know, she's since closed it down. But I happened to be involved with one of her programs in Atlanta, where she invited me and my husband to come and bring in our collection. And I was really enamored with the fact that she asked me to come up on stage, and I'm sitting on stage between Susan Taylor and Iyanla Vincent, and I was like overwhelmed that here I am with these two major female moguls in our community, and you know, lowly little me is sitting on stage with them, and I'm looking out at the sea of just beautiful black women, and it just occurred to me that at some point in our history, we were enslaved. But to see where we are today really made me appreciate the trials and tribulations that our enslaved sisters had to endure for us to be where we are today. So that's what started ruminating in my head. And I remember at first I said I was going to write a book, but I'm a very creative person in that I need something visual. So I decided to develop this film. So I started putting the script together, and I would, you know, write something down, something inspired me. I would put, you know, write something down on my computer or write something down on a notepad. So like I said, after about 10 years or so, I was able to put everything together, and I compiled the information and turned it into a film, and that's how it came to be My Slave Sister, Myself.
Excellent. I normally don't take calls because this is a very short interview,
mm-hmm.
but you have someone on the line.
Oh,
and
great.
If this person is just interested in listening, you can just ignore me when I say hello to you and just continue to listen, and we'll continue on with the interview. Hello, you're on the air. Do you have a question for Ms. Ragsdale?
Thank you. I take chocolate.
You do? Okay. I don't think they have a question. All right. Sorry, Ms. Ragsdale. So you were at an event, and you looked in the audience, and when you looked at everyone in the audience, you just became emotional. And
yeah, it did. It was actually an emotional moment for me, Leslie, because I realized that, you know, look at this. Look at who we are. Look at how beautiful we are. Look at how strong we are. Look at how evolved we have become, and how we are able to do what we want to do. And to think, when I think back on what it was like during slavery, it's amazing that there are any African Americans at all, much less African American females.
Right. But did it bring you to the moment of thinking about the Middle Passage and how one of their mothers was probably on the Middle Passage and somehow survived, and here they are in the audience, as you describe them as moguls. So I guess you were overwhelmed, and this is what came to mind, that I have to document the trials and the tribulations and the successes.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
and
who did
in
you
fact,
speak to? You know, like when you first came home after, you know, having that experience, or what we call an epiphany.
Epiphany,
you know, who
exactly.
Who was the first person did you share that?
My husband.
Okay, and what did he say?
He thought that, you know, it was interesting. I mean, he was, you know, he gave me his undivided attention, but I don't really think that he realized how much I was impacted by, you know, that experience. But I kept talking about it, and that's why he, you know, he kept saying, well, you should write a book, you know, but, and
well,
I may still write a book.
The first conversation you had with the woman, and I'm kind of speaking very fast because I know that you have to leave soon,
mm-hmm.
and I like talking to you, as you know, so... Oh, the first woman you had a conversation
it was
about,
a dear
you know,
friend of mine, and she tells me that I'm a good storyteller. I started telling her about, you know, my thoughts about putting this film together and how I envisioned it, talking like you just mentioned about the and what it was like for women and what we had to go through, because, you know, not only did we have to endure, you know, being held in these death ships, we had to being molested and raped by these these white slavers. And I read a book that talked about how during, you know, certain points in the voyage, because, you know, women, when we get together, our bodies tend to synchronize, our menses synchronize. You may have had that experience when you've worked in a department with a bunch of women, and you happen to mention, you know, I'm on my period, and another one might say she's on her period. That's a natural biological thing. Well, some of these voyages lasted for weeks and sometimes months at a time, and that's what started happening to these enslaved African women, those who weren't already impregnated. And I read this book that said that there were certain times of the month where floorboards of the slave ships looked like slaughterhouses, and the stench was just overwhelming, and the fact that these women could not take care of their personal hygiene just made it even more horrific for them, you know, and also having to see many of your young girls and boys raped and molested, ripped apart by these, you know, maniacal white slavers just had to be, you know, just horrible, horrible. So they didn't call them death ships for nothing. But these sisters managed to support each other, keep each other together, and that sisterhood bond still exists in us today. Think about the last time you met a total female stranger, maybe somebody that you happen to sit in the hairdresser, under the hair dryer with, next to, and you start talking, and before your hair is dry, you've exchanged your whole life story. That's that bond that exists between females, particularly African American females. We just hit it off, you know.
Well, I think you have you are touching on a realistic point for me, because when I found out that you are going to be having this premiere tomorrow at the Belmont Mansion, and which is the Underground Railroad Museum, I was so proud to know that the two of you are curators and own your own museums. How you bonded.
Absolutely.
To get this film out. So what you're saying, you're actually living it.
That's right.
The last interview I had on this show, we talked about how we are fighting one another.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for us to get research. I was talking to a young historian. We were complaining and whining about how it was so hard to extract information from some of our African neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so happy to hear you're saying just the opposite, that you and Miss Audrey Thornton Johnson of the Belmont
mm-hmm.
Museum, along with the Least We Forget Museum, two female curators,
exactly,
have gotten together, your moguls from my point of view, to get this film out, and you're working successfully and always have worked cooperatively.
Absolutely. And not to deny the fact that sister hate still exists. It does exist, and it hurts me when I see women fighting amongst each other. When you look at these reality shows and seeing these black women just hating on each other and fighting each other, or seeing how we treat each other in the corporate workplace, it's very depressing. And we have to stop that, because we need each other. We need each other's support, because without each other, it makes it that much more harder for us to deal with the world the way it is now. When you think about the African-American woman, we hold it down for our husbands. We hold it down for our children. We hold it down for our parents. We hold it down for our sisters and brothers. We hold it down for our bosses. We hold it down for anybody that we come in contact with who needs something for us. They tend to, when they share something with you or want you to do something, they unload it on you, and we're expected to carry it. And for the most part, we do.
Right.
We do, with a smile on our face, and deliver at the end.
Right.
But who is there for us if we don't have each other to support each other? So this is one of the reasons why, another major reason why I made this film. It's a tribute to our strength and to our bond and to our love for one another. I love being a woman. I love being an African-American woman. And I embrace it as much as I can. And nothing is more important to me than my sister friends. I'm closer to some of my sister friends than I am to some family members.
Now, do you have any sisters?
I do.
Okay. And what is the, could you give us an idea of what the makeup is of your family? And
well,
where you are?
I am the only child of my mother and father. I'm the only biological child of my mother and father. Both my mother and father were married to other people. So my father had a set of children with his wife, and my mother had a set of children with her husband. But I am the only child that they had between each other. So I have two stepsisters and two stepbrothers.
Now, you were raised in a home
I don't call them step. I call them brothers and sisters, because that's how we were raised.
So you were all raised in the same, under the same roof?
Well, I was raised under the same roof with my my mom and dad kind of shared me.
Okay.
So I spent time with my father. I would spend winters with him, and I would spend summers with my mom. So interestingly enough, my mom lived in the Bahamas. So every summer, you know, I would get sent off to spend the summers with my mother, and in winter I would be with my father. I told him, can't y'all get it together and trade off? Maybe I should spend winters with my mom, you know, but I went to school here, so that's
okay,
why.
Okay, in the Bahamas. I like to hear your comparison, and if we could interject the film, too, into this answer. How was the bonding between the women in the Bahamas compared to over here on the mainland?
What I find in the Bahamas is that the bond is much closer. It's much closer. not to say that they don't have the same kind of problems that we have with that, what I call sister hate. It exists there, too.
Give me a profound example of what you're talking about when you say it's close. Like something that just comes straight to your mind when you say that they are close, the women bond is much closer.
Well, in that they help each other raise their children. Okay. They help.
So there's no daycares, for instance.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, Nassau is where I'm from. It's just as metropolitan as Philadelphia or New York City. You know, it just has palm trees. But remember, you know, you have all of the casinos and the tourism that support the island. So, no, it's not like a third world country. It's very thriving. It's better and even more thriving than maybe Jamaica or Haiti. You know,
yeah, I've been there once.
Yeah, so Nassau is a very thriving island. But in the Caribbean culture, for when a man decides that he wants to divorce a woman, he simply tells her he wants a divorce, and he's divorced. And the woman has no say-so in the matter.
Okay.
So as a consequence, there is a lot of man-sharing, and there is a lot of children-sharing. In other words, many sisters might have children by the same father that they may have been married to at one point in time. And they share those children together. I am her children's mother, and she is my children's mother.
So it's definitely less competitive.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Over
because
here,
they recognize that it's a man's world, and it is what it is, and there is not a lot you can do about it, so why can't we just all, as Rodney King says, get along?
Okay. All right. And over here, you said it's a lot more competitive. Now,
absolutely. And you know, so when I see, you know, women who purposely, you know, throw themselves at a man who they know is married, and particularly if it's a friend of theirs, it's troubling. It's troubling because you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. We need to care about each other more and recognize that, you know, if I am putting this pain on my sister, I'm also doing the same thing to myself. That pain speaks to the fact that I'm not happy with myself. And I'm inflicting pain on others to make myself feel better.
And your daughter.
And your daughter. And again, I think that's a vestige of slavery. It's something that was done to us during slavery that is still in us, but we have to fight it and get away from it. And the only way to do it is by being more loving and supportive of one another.
Now, how does your film capture that sentiment that you just described?
Well, I guess you'll have to see it, Leslie.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
I guess you'll have to see it, and you tell me whether or not I captured it.
I'm going to be there tomorrow night.
I look forward to seeing you and sharing our film with you.
Okay. Well,
and I encourage your audience to go up on our website. The website is www.lestmuseumofslavery.com.
Okay.
And you can see a preview of the trailer by clicking on products and click on the female slave, and you can see a trailer of the movie. And you can purchase it online for $29, and or you can come to our museum, the Lest We Forget Black Holocaust Museum, again located 3650 Richmond Street, Philadelphia, to not only see the museum, and you could also purchase our film there for $25.
Now let's talk about the logistics of the film. Now, you're a film curator and a planner, event planner by trade. I'm sorry, a museum curator.
Mm-hmm.
How did you take those different hats off or even merge the two of the hats to become a filmmaker?
It just happened. I think I merged my life experience with what I do for a living.
Okay.
And as I said, I was always taking mental notes, you know, whatever I was doing something, as to how it could be related into my film. So it actually worked well for me. It actually worked well for me because I was able to travel the country. I've been to practically every city in this country doing different conferences and different events and having an opportunity to interact with women in those different cities, the South, the North, the East, the West, gave me an opportunity to get a flavor for the African-American woman and her spirit.
Now, did you take the cameraman with you? How did the film crew, you know, when did
no,
you
actually, the film, all the filming was done at our museum, on site at our museum, Black Holocaust Museum in Philadelphia, and we used our artifacts and our African sculptures as backdrop, and our paintings as backdrop for the film.
Well, I have one of your films. I don't know if it's the first one.
That was actually our first film. That is a documentary called Lest We Forget, and that was our first foray, if you will, in creating a film. And that was done almost happenstance. The film crew that we worked together are a group of young men that we met in Boston. And we have been invited to do traveling slavery museum exhibits. And we have been invited to Boston College to do a slavery exhibit. And there was a young man there whose name is Domingo Guyton. And Domingo was just overwhelmed and blown away by our presentation and our artifacts. I mean, he just kept asking questions. He wanted to know what this artifact was for and how this chain was used. And he wanted my husband to tell him more stories, and he wanted to hear more. And he was just full of questions. And even after we, finished, he would send me emails and come to find out that he is a rapper, but he's a religious rapper. But he is a former gang member who turned his life over to God and was, you know, very involved in the church and started using the genre of rap to create these rap songs. And he asked me if we were interested or if it would be okay if he could create a music video relating to some of the things that we talked about in our presentations. So, of course, we said yes. I didn't, without even writing a script, my husband and I put the film together, and it's a review of slavery from capture to emancipation. And in the film, my husband shows how the shackles and the manacles and the ironware was used on the enslaved Africans. I talk about, again, how slavery impacted females. And we also talk about how the compassionate abolitionists helped to free these slaves. And of course, Leslie, that's where your family connection comes in with the Still family, you know. So it's a film that we put together, and much to our surprise, we won the 2007 HBO Martha's Vineyard Best Documentary Award for that film. So we're very proud of that film.
It's an excellent film. First time I visit your museum, which was in Lawnside,
mm-hmm.
I purchased the film.
Right.
And, I've watched it, and also I have the I'm preserving the booklet that came with the film you gave me.
Right.
I was just really, really amazed, touched, emotional when I came out of your museum, and I'm trying to get myself psyched up and ready for your film.
Oh well, thank you, Leslie. I I'm looking forward to sharing with you, and we're expecting a good crowd. We're getting lots of calls and feedback from people who are interested in coming to see the film. This is the second screening. The first one was held August 2nd at Freedom Theater in Philadelphia, and we had over 300 people that attended that screening. So we're expecting a good turnout at this one as well.
I think you're going to have a great turnout. I'm upset that I'm waiting for someone to get off of work at 5 o'clock because I really wanted to be there at 3. I'm going to be pushing through traffic. Now, okay. Are you going to have T-shirts as well?
Sure, we're going to have some of our T-shirts. Now you're putting me on the spot because I really wasn't prepared to bring them, but now I guess I have to. Yes, we'll have T-shirts as well.
Okay.
All right.
We're down to our last 6 minutes. Do you want to end the interview, or do you want to discuss anything else on your mind about the film? We had a very good conversation about how you started, which I think is a great story. How you looked into the audience and you seen Susan and a few other black women who are successful, and that prompted you to write this film.
Right.
And,
I'd like to end by saying that in every black woman lives her inner slave sister. She's deeply embedded in her soul. And we need to celebrate her bravery. We need to celebrate what she went through and how she has given us the strength that we need to continue and call on her at times when we are feeling so at our wit's end, feeling that we can't make it anymore, we can't do anymore. Recognize what our inner slave sister did. What did she pull up on? What kept her going? And recognize that we are a strong and beautiful people. There's nothing more beautiful on this earth than the African-American woman, and we need to celebrate her at every chance we get and recognize that the inner slave sister that lives within us now can be free through us. Value her, cherish her, and let your inner slave sister support you, free her by being the best that you can be. That's
well,
my answer.
I thank you for coming on the show, and I thank you for the museum. The first film you made, the name of it is?
Lest We Forget, how aptly named, Lest We Forget.
Lest
and the second one is named My Slave Sister, Myself. That's our newest one.
And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing everything that you're doing. Our ancestors are very, very proud of you, and I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Leslie. I look forward to seeing you, and thank you, audience.
All
peace.
Right. Bye-bye.
my arms are long. My hair is woolly. My back is strong. Strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. Yellow. My hair is long. Between two worlds, I do belong. My father was rich and white. He forced my mother late one night. What do they call me?